Welcome to The Big Why, a series from Montana Public Radio where we find out what we can discover together. I'm your host, Austin Amestoy. This is a show about listener-powered reporting. We'll answer questions, large or small, about anything under the big sky. By Montanans, for Montana, this is The Big Why. In this special episode of The Big Why, we're doing things a little differently. Our listeners submit more questions than you'll hear answered on the show, and there are a couple reasons for that. For one, we just don't have time to answer absolutely everything. And also, some have answers that don't quite fill up the full 9 minutes for our episodes. But some of your questions are just so good, it would be a shame to let them pass us by. So, helping me out today is the host of another podcast airing on MTPR, Justin Angle of A New Angle. Justin, thanks for being here.
Yeah, excited to get involved.
Well, we like to keep things pretty simple on this show. We've picked three questions to answer in a Big Why speed round, if you will. You'll hear two of them now, and you can catch the third question as part of my interview with Justin on A New Angle. The two topics we're tackling for this version of the show are meteorology and metalworking. Let's start with that first question. It comes to us from a listener in southwest Montana. Matt Mason lives in Gardner, just north of Yellowstone National Park during the summer, and loves to skateboard. The nearest skate park is in Livingston, which Mason noticed is prone to a weather phenomenon that can make his hobby a bit of a challenge.
There's nothing more embarrassing than driving an hour to get to Livingston to skate, and it is so windy that I can't even ride my skateboard.
I can't even imagine riding a skateboard myself, let alone trying to do it in the wind that Livingston regularly gets.
Right. Me neither, Justin. Matt Mason wanted to know, why is Livingston so windy?
And maybe there's an underlying assumption to challenge here. Is it that Livingston is that windy or Montana in general?
I had the same thought, so I called up Tom Humphrey. He's the head meteorologist at the National Weather Service office in Billings. Humphrey says Livingston really is measurably windier than the rest of the state.
Okay, so then what's so special about Livingston when it comes to the wind?
Well, Humphrey says there are a few phenomena at play.
Okay, the basic one that produces the strongest winds in Livingston typically happen in the fall and winter time.
During that time, Humphrey says high pressure systems over Yellowstone National Park south of Livingston and low pressure systems moving down from Canada often create what's called a pressure gradient. Basically, when those two systems collide, air from that high pressure system gets pushed into that low pressure area.
So all that high pressure from Yellowstone funnels up through the Paradise Valley into Livingston?
And produces some gusty winds, Justin. In fact, the Livingston Enterprise reported a 92-mile-per-hour gust in late February this year. That was just 2 miles per hour short of the city's all-time record.
I can't even imagine 92 miles an hour.
Yeah, I feel like I'd have a hard time standing up in that.
Let alone skateboarding.
That's right. But there's also one more phenomenon at play. Gap winds. Justin, have you ever put your thumb over the top of a garden hose?
Yes, often. I seem to break a hose nozzle all the time, so I'm familiar with the finger over the tip of the hose workaround.
Well, let's hear from Humphrey again.
The smaller you make that opening, the faster the water is going to squirt out of there. And that's the same thing for Livingston.
Paradise Valley sits between two mountain ranges, so you can think of that narrow valley like a thumb closing off the winds rushing up from Yellowstone. As the winds move along that pressure gradient, the gap in the mountains forces them to accelerate.
Right, so we have an air pressure gradient plus gap winds, and we get Montana's windiest city.
That's the equation, Justin. Shall we move on to our next question?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, our second Big Why question today takes us to Helena. That's where listener Sarah Bond has lived for about 4 decades. She worked for the state government and spent a lot of time soaking in the Capitol building's ornate details.
Throughout that time, I've often asked many people, who in the heck is on top of that dome?
So is she talking about the statue on top of the Capitol building?
That's right. It's as old as the Capitol itself, dating back to the early 1900s. And at first glance, it feels really familiar. A woman wearing Romanesque robes, holding a torch high above her head and a wreath in her other hand, and a starred and striped shield resting against her body.
Yeah, that sounds a little like another statue out east that's quite a bit bigger.
That's right. And former Montana Historical Society curator Kirby Lambert says the organization shared the same opinion.
We classified the statue as a personification of liberty.
Lambert says the statue's history was totally unknown for more than 100 years. The documents that would have identified its creator were destroyed in a fire, so the best the Historical Society could do was guess. She looked like Liberty, so she became known as Liberty, and that name stuck for nearly a century. All of that changed, though, in 2006 when Lambert's phone rang.
Picked up the phone, just not having any idea what it might be, and this woman on the other end said, "I'm calling to find out if my grandfather's statue is still on your state capitol."
Really? So a call came out of the blue completely?
That's right.
Okay, so who was on the other end?
That would be Alice Nagel of Hatfield, Pennsylvania. Nagel had recently discovered a trunk that had belonged to her late grandfather, Edward Van Landegam. He was a Belgian-born metal sculptor who worked in Pennsylvania after immigrating. When Nagel opened the trunk, she found several newspaper clippings with an image of one of her grandfather's statues. And that statue? It was the one on top of the Capitol. But the thing is,
all the article that I had on it was she was called Montana.
So Liberty is actually Montana.
Exactly. Nagel says she was immediately intrigued, and she wanted to set the record straight.
And that's when I started searching for somebody to correspond with, and I picked Kirby's name, and I picked the right one.
Lambert says the Historical Society quickly redesignated Liberty as Montana, and though she may resemble her sister in New York Harbor, Lambert says that choice is likely very intentional.
So I think it's kind of a combination of being proud to be Montanans, but also an attempt to say, hey, we belong, we're legitimate.
And that's the origin of the Capitol Dome statue. Two questions in one episode. Not too bad, right, Justin?
Not bad at all. And if you Big Y listeners want to catch a third bonus question, we've got it over on my show, A New Angle. Austin and I will also take a look behind the curtain of the Big Y, and I'll ask him a few questions about how it all works.
That's right, Justin. A special Big Y crossover episode of A New Angle is available right now at anewanglepodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Now we want to know what makes you curious about Montana. You can submit your questions online at bigy.org. Find us wherever you listen to podcasts and help others find the show by sharing it and leaving us a review. Let's see what we can discover together.